Happy Victory Monday, everybody. Welcome to episode number 5 of the Philadelphia Eagles Fanatic Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Half, and I'm here this morning to play a little Monday morning quarterback and break down some of the positives and negatives from Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. So let's start out. We're going to dive into the negatives, and spoiler alert, this is going to be a very short list and pretty nitpicky this time because that was just a phenomenal game as we completely dismantled what was left of the Arizona Cardinals to take them down 34-7. But because it's my job, we'll see what we can come up with. And so the first negative on my list from this game, and this is by far the biggest one because it has the biggest impact going forward, is Lane Johnson's injury. Lane Johnson didn't come out of the locker room after halftime. They said he sustained a head injury. It was later confirmed that he had entered the league's concussion protocol. I'm not really sure where that happened. I thought maybe the announcers would find the play where it happened, and they never did. So I'm unsure when that injury happened. But regardless, Lane Johnson enters the concussion protocol, which means it's almost impossible that he's going to turn around and play on Thursday night against the Panthers on the short week. And so that's obviously a huge negative for us. You could insert all the facts last year about how much better this team was when Lane Johnson was on the field the first 4 weeks versus after the suspension kicked in. I'm not going to delve into all that. All you Eagles fans know that when he went down last year, that was a huge blow to our team. And so having him out as we look towards the Panthers on Thursday night is obviously not a good thing. But at least last year when he went down, we had an unproven rookie in Halapulavati Vaitai coming in, and he was just destroyed in his first game. And he began to get a little bit better, but it was up and down all season. A good thing you can take away from this game, jumping ahead to positives, and we'll get back to the negatives, is that Halapulavati Vaitai played in the second half of that game, and you didn't really notice him. His name was never called. He didn't make any spectacular plays, but how often do linemen do that? But more importantly, he didn't give up sacks. He didn't give up pressures. He was solid in the run game. And so obviously he's no Lane Johnson. You're not going to replace Lane Johnson. But Big V showed that he could come in on a week where he had not had first-team reps. He was not prepared to play. And he stepped in and he did a fine job in the second half. So I think, granted, it is a short week, but with him taking the first team reps, I don't expect him to be a major liability in the Carolina game. So it is a negative. It's a big negative for us, but I do think it's manageable if Big V steps in and he plays well. The next negative, if we're going to nitpick Carson Wentz, which, again, you have to nitpick to find things because he played a phenomenal game, but he had two moments that were not good that I want to talk about. The first one is the interception. The one interception that he threw, and I'll take a 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio any game, but the one interception that he threw was in the end zone, which takes points directly off the board. That's not good. And aside from that, going back and looking at that replay, that was just such a tight window to throw the ball into. I don't like him forcing that ball in that instance. Like the tight end had a step on the receiver. You got the safety over the top. Could you fit that ball in there? Maybe. Like if you threw an absolutely perfect ball, maybe it's going to be a really difficult catch in traffic. But I don't like that. I think he got a little aggressive there. The play before when he tried to drill the back shoulder throw that Patrick Peterson almost intercepted, it was the same type thing. I think he was getting too aggressive. There's blood in the water, going for the kill, trying to make too big of a play. And that's okay. I'm okay with the gunslinger mentality. I would rather you do that than be a game manager, but I think you have to pick your spots, and I don't think that's one of those spots where you want to make that throw. And so I would knock him for that throw. I don't think that was a wise decision on back-to-back plays. Of course, Peterson drops the interception, but then the safety gets the interception on the next play. And so that was a negative for Carson Wentz. And then the other one was on a third down. I can't remember what point in the game it was. I just remember the play where Zach Ertz literally breaks his guy's ankles. The guy falls on the ground, and Ertz is on a slant pattern, wide open for the first down. And Wentz throws the ball at his feet about 3 yards behind him. It was an awful throw. I don't know if he slipped. I don't know what happened there, but that's a very, very poor throw out of Carson Wentz, especially in that situation on third down. Now, he was phenomenal on third down outside of that play, so again, not going to dock him too much for that. But those were two plays that Carson made that I did not think were good in an otherwise phenomenal game from him. The next negative I want to throw out there is simply that Chance Warmack sucks. If you know anything about football, if you have eyes and watch the game, Chance Warmack is a terrible football player. He's awful. Like, I don't care that he was a first-round pick. I don't care that he's reunited with Jeff Stoutland, who apparently is the left guard whisperer. I don't care. Chance Warmack is a terrible offensive lineman. It was dumb that we extended him before he played a game. And quite frankly, it's ridiculous that he's ever setting foot on this field. Steven Wisniewski is so much better, it's not even funny. Wisniewski plays our first three possessions. We march down the field and score touchdowns. Then for some unexplicable reason, Chance Warmack gets put into the game and our offense stalls two drives in a row. It's clear watching the tape that he has no clue what he's doing. He's completely inept as an offensive lineman. We need to stop the left guard rotation. Honestly, Chance Warmack needs to be inactive on game day, and Isaac Simalo needs to be your backup because Simalo is a better offensive lineman than Chance Warmack. Chance Warmack is bad. I don't want to talk about him anymore. He's terrible. Get him off the field. The only other one, only other negative I want to throw out there on the game is Corey Clement. I said in the preseason I thought Corey Clement was just a guy and I didn't think he should make this football team. We chose to keep five running backs, which looks like a good call now with Sproles going down, Pumphrey going down. That said, Corey Clement is just not a good running back. He's just not. I know he picked up a couple third downs last game. He averaged 3 yards a carry doing it. This week he goes 7 carries for 17 yards, 2.4 yards per carry. Guys, Corey Clement, I know he's got a good story. He's a local guy. He worked hard to make the team. I respect all of that. He's just not a good NFL running back. Wendell Smallwood needs to be healthy, and he needs to stay healthy. LeGarrette Blount's looked really good over the last few games. But LeGarrette Blount's not the type of guy that you're going to run the ball 25, 30 times a game with. And we need something else. I don't think Kenyon Barner's that guy. Corey Clement is definitely not that guy. Wendell Smallwood can be that guy if he can just stay healthy. But he's never been able to stay healthy. And so our running game is thin. Like we've done well running the ball, but it's thin because Corey Clement is not a good running back. Kenyon Barner was signed as a free agent for a reason. We need Wendell Smallwood to get healthy and to stay healthy for this running game to stay effective long term. So enough of playing like the negative Nancy role. Let's flip over and talk about the positives. And there are a lot of positives from this game. A lot. First one, I want to start with a big one, is Nelson Agholor. Who would have thought going into this season that Nelson Agholor would be the most productive wide receiver that we have? He is. You look at it, he's the most productive receiver on this team right now. Now, not counting Zach Ertz, who's a tight end, but most productive receiver. He has 20 more yards and one more touchdown than Alshon. He's got 60 more yards and two more touchdowns than Torrey Smith. Like, Nelson Agholor is actually playing really well this year. He's catching the ball. He had one bad drop in this game, and I was really happy that we came right back to him the next play and he converts on the third down because I don't know what his mental state is, but I could see if that's sitting on him, if he has the drop and then he gets locked up for a quarter, that he starts to get in his own head. That didn't happen. Carson comes back to him the next play, finds him for the first down, snaps him out of that, and then he had the phenomenal touchdown at the end of the game. Third and 19, and I have no idea why on third and 19 the Cardinals decided to do a cover zero blitz on us. It makes no sense. But on third and 19, they bring the heat. We pick it up. Carson drops a beautiful pass right into Agholor's hands, and he catches it. And then you guys know the rest. He jukes the safety like three times, falls backwards into the end zone. I love that. I love that he's confident. I love that he's cocky in that moment, that he's having fun on the field. Nelson Agholor looks like an entirely different player this year. And so if you would have asked me before the year, will Nelson Agholor be on this team in 2018, my answer would have been no. I would say we're going to cut him. As of this moment, I don't see any way we don't pick up the option on him. Like, he's playing great football. He's finally becoming the player that they thought he could be when he was drafted. I think the move to the slot helps him out with that. He's really good with the ball after the catch. And I think having Alshon Jeffrey eating up a lot of the coverage attention is helping him out a lot too. But Nelson Agholor is finally beginning to play real football. Next one I want to throw out there is our offensive line. Our offensive line played great in this game. They only gave up one sack on Carson Wentz. They opened up holes for the running game. You had Lane Johnson go down, and he doesn't come out of the locker room in the second half, and you didn't even notice. Like, had the announcers not said anything, the majority of people would have never noticed that Lane Johnson wasn't in the game. That's how well Big V played. That's how well the unit as a whole played, minus Chance Warmack. But I said I'm not going to talk about him again. But this offensive line is legit. They struggled a lot in the preseason. They struggled early in the year. I don't know if it's because they didn't play enough together in the preseason. I don't really know what the issue was with this offensive line, but whatever it was, they're playing very well right now. You even heard one of the announcers say they're one of the best offensive lines in the country. I don't know if I'm going to jump onto that yet, but they're playing very, very good football, and it's coming at a perfect time for us. Next positive is Carson Wentz. Guys, you need to sit back and just watch Carson Wentz and enjoy. Because Carson Wentz, right now at this moment, is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. In his second year, he has, 21 NFL starts. 21, and he's playing like a top five quarterback in the league. It's phenomenal. The mental abilities that he brings to the table, that he's walking up to the line of scrimmage, given the hard count, reading the defense, he's making play call adjustments, he's changing plays. The mental capabilities are there. The escapability, like if you watched the Cowboys game, you watch Aaron Rodgers scramble and pick up that key third down on their last drive, then you compare that to what Carson Wentz is doing. He has that escapability. He has the wheels. He rushed the ball 6 times for 11 yards and I believe picked up 2 first downs on the ground. He has the ability to extend plays. You get a guy, a linebacker, with a free shot on him and he can't make the tackle because Wentz just kind of flicks his shoulders and he's out of the way and keeps his eyes downfield the whole time. It's very impressive what he's doing. He's got some mechanical issues he's got to work through. I get that. He's got some decision-making issues that rear their head every once in a while. See the negative spot about those two consecutive throws that should have been picked. But you take the good with the bad. He's a rough player. He's a raw talent. We knew that coming in. He had not started a lot of games in college, not against good competition, but he's playing phenomenal football. And you're seeing a guy make a major step in his second year. And if he continues to trend forward, you're looking at a top five NFL quarterback as your franchise signal caller for the Eagles for the next 12 to 15 years. And so you've got to be excited about that, if nothing else. Getting a little bit deeper into what he does so well, he's clutch. He is a clutch football player. On third downs this year, he's completing 54% of his passes on third downs. That's 6% better than the number two guy, who is Aaron Rodgers. And so he's completing 6% more of his passes on third downs than the second best guy in the league, Aaron Rodgers, who's considered one of the top quarterbacks ever. Think about that. Looking at this game in particular, on third downs, Carson Wentz was 11 of 12 for 225 yards and 3 touchdowns on third down. The one time he did not complete a pass on third down was on the throw we already talked about to Ertz. 11 of 12, 225, and 3 touchdowns. He converted third downs of 3rd and 11 3 times, and he converted a 3rd and 19 once. Like, Carson Wentz is playing phenomenal. Sit back and enjoy it, because this guy, we're going to ride this guy to the division in the playoffs this year. Another guy who played a really good game was Patrick Robinson, which again is so funny because if Ronald Darby had not been traded for, where we could move Patrick Robinson to the inside, to the slot where he's played well, Patrick Robinson would not have made this football team. He was going to get cut because he played so bad on the outside, but Darby comes in. That leaves you Darby and Mills outside. You can shift Patrick Robinson to the inside, and he found his niche, and he played really well in this game. He made some good tackles. He had his hands on a couple of balls that, honestly, he should have intercepted, but I'm not ever going to get mad at a corner for dropping an interception. He broke up the play. That's what's most important. And Patrick Robinson quietly played a really good football game. And with all the guys that we have out right now on our defense, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen when those guys all come back. But Robinson's playing really well right now. Another positive would be Kenyon Barner in the return game. I think he had 110 yards for his returns. Three punt returns for 110 yards with a long of 76, average of 36. You know, Barner looked electric. He looked like Darren Sproles out there. He doesn't quite have the breakaway speed, but he played really well, and that's all you want from the guy. We picked him up off of waiver wires. He had the 110 yards, and then he contributed 5 carries for 23 yards on the ground. He had a long of 16. Outside of that, he did not do much. But in the return game, Kenyon Barner keeps us having one of the most dangerous special teams units in the league, and that you can't understate the importance of that. Especially early in the game, those 3 consecutive scores were largely set up by 3 and outs by our defense, and Kenyon Barner returns. Another positive is our ball control on offense. We are dominating time of possession. Looking at this game where we're ahead in the game, we get the ball back with 13 minutes in the fourth quarter, and you just want to kill some clock and get out of there. We showed the ability to do that last week when we killed 6:44 to end the game against the Chargers. Well, in this instance, we go on a 13-play, 9-minute and 14-second drive in the fourth quarter to kill the clock. We took 9 minutes and 14 seconds off the clock in a game that we were winning. Last year, we could not do that. This year, we have the ability, we have the mental toughness, we have the physical toughness up front to be able to pound the rock, to complete short passes, to stay in bounds, to milk the clock, and to end football games. And you cannot overstate the importance of that when it comes down to a playoff push and playoff games. Being able to control the ball, to have another offense on the sideline giving you the ball with 10 minutes left and saying, I don't know if I'm going to get the ball back. The mental things that that inflicts on other teams, the way that gets in their head, the way it changes play calling, it changes aggression on defense, that's huge for us. Overall, a big positive too is just our defense. Our defense played phenomenal. They gave up 7 points to the Cardinals in what I thought was a bad matchup for us. On the page, I picked the Cardinals to win this game. I was scared of their deep balls. I was scared of their secondary, and I was completely wrong, and I've never been more elated to say that. But our defense did great. We gave up 31 yards on 14 rushing attempts. That's 2.2 yards per carry. And that's, by the way, that's without Fletcher Cox playing. Huge cog in the middle of that defensive line for us. And we only give up 31 yards on 14 carries. Passing-wise, Carson Palmer goes 28 of 44 for 276 yards and a touchdown. Took 2 sacks. He gets the 90.2 quarterback rating. We sacked him twice. We took him off their game. They were throwing screen passes, swing passes, checkdowns because what they wanted wasn't there. And we made Carson Palmer inefficient all day. And again, that's with massive injuries to this defense. Fletcher Cox isn't playing. Rodney McLeod is banged up. Ronald Darby's not playing. Think about what this team is going to look like when we get all of those guys back. And you can't help but get excited about the prospects of this team and wonder how far can we really go. And then the biggest positive of all is we win. Dallas melts down and loses after a Dak Prescott pick six. And so we gain another game on the division. We're now up 2 games. I would say we gained a game on the entire division for the second week in a row, but I can't really say that because the Redskins had the bye this week. They did not play, but let's be honest, we know they would have lost if they did. But we're playing great football right now. We've got the 2-game lead in the division, undefeated in the division, undefeated in the conference. and things are looking up. Be excited about this win. Get ready for the game on Thursday night. Thursday night we play the Panthers. They're also 4-1. They've got a bad loss to the Saints, but they've looked really well in recent weeks. They're playing great football, and it should be a really good game. I'm disappointed it's a Thursday game. This should be a Sunday night or a Monday night game. Frankly, I hate Thursday games. I always feel like they're sloppy coming off the short weeks. Guys don't have fresh legs, and I just hate playing Thursday games. And in this instance, I think playing the Thursday game is a disadvantage for us because, like I said, Lane Johnson is not going to play on Thursday night. There's no way he gets through concussion protocol. I don't know about Fletcher Cox, but I would hazard a guess that Fletcher Cox will also not play since it's a short week. And so that's not ideal for us, but we just proved that we can play without those guys if we have to, and we're going to have to on Thursday. So let's see what happens. After that, we get a long week, and then we get a Monday night football game against the Washington Redskins. And so we have a chance to really put a dagger into the Redskins. If we beat the Redskins on that Monday night game, we would knock them another game back and go 2-0 against them. And also, I think you can circle that date on your calendar because I think there's a pretty good chance that you see Ronald Darby on the field. I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to see Fletcher Cox on the field. Lane Johnson's going to be on the field. I think for that game, barring an injury in the Carolina game, that we're going to be fully healthy outside of Darren Sproles and Sidney Jones for that Monday night game. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have 4 extra days to prepare for that game playing on Thursday night. And so at the end of the day, while it is a disadvantage for us to play Thursday night without Lane, I will take it because it's going to give us extra time to get ready for the key divisional game against the Redskins. And so that's all that I've got. Like I said, we want to keep these short, and I'm running up over that 20-minute mark, I think. So I'm going to cut this off and get out of here. I don't think I'm going to get a mailbag podcast done this week on Thursday since we have the game. Well, you know what? I might. I might do one on Thursday anyways, and then we'll be back on Friday, I guess, to do the breakdown for the Panthers game. So I'll put up the stuff. You guys check out the Facebook group, and go Eagles.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.